dead two, and we saw God's Not Dead one, and so we want to follow that up with the sequel. The second two Fridays from now would be the last Friday of this month, so we want you to be here and be a part of that. Have some popcorn. We usually have candy bars and all kinds of things. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. We're going to not be at the men's meeting that one night. We only have five Fridays, so anyhow, that's what we're going to do. All right. Well, turn with me tonight to Philippians chapter 1. If you remember right, last week we talked about Paul having joy despite his imprisonment and in spite of the uncertain decisions that were on his case. Paul had joy no matter what. True joy, remember, we talked about true joy and the fact that true joy rises above the rolling waves of circumstance. True joy keeps us on an even keel no matter how happy or sad we might feel. Amen? And remember that as we go through this this letter to the Philippians, that the key theme of this entire book is on joy. It's joy. It's how we're going to see how Paul was joyful in spite of everything that was going on. And one reason for the joy that Paul had was the fact that the Philippians had been his partners in spreading the good news through their generous contribution to Paul's ministry. Let me just talk for a second, being as we've already taken the offering, about generosity and about contributions. We're building a church here, and it's not going to be done by one person. It's not going to be done by some corporation. It's going to be done by an act of God to move on the hearts of the people financially and by the generosity of the people. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing to see the outpouring of generosity from the people in regards to this building project. And I am just standing in faith that when it comes time to start rolling over dirt, that we're going to have some resources there in order to get that done and to just see. Because, listen, here's what I think is going to happen. When we start turning over dirt out there, and when we start nailing forms together and we start pouring concrete, I believe that the people, not just you, but other people, are going to get excited and catch the vision and begin to give. Amen? And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do. It's going to be fantastic. I know that. And no one person, not me, not the contractors, nobody's going to get the glory for this building but God. Amen? We're going to all get to be a part of it, and that's going to be awesome. But God gets the glory. Amen? And I'll tell you, I'm joyful. I'm excited. And I'm really looking forward to getting this thing going. So moving on, I want to start. We finished up with verses 4 and 5 last week, but in order for us to bring this all back into context, I want to pick this thing up again tonight at verse 3 and read through verse 6. So in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul this verse 3 again, we're not going to go clear back to the beginning and talk about it, but it is encouraging that Paul said, I thank God in every time He remembers you. I mean, every time they ran through his mind, he was thanking God for them. And I think that it's awesome. I'd like to get somehow to that place, but do you sometimes feel as though you're not making progress in your spiritual life? That's a loaded opening question, isn't it? Do you sometimes feel as though you're not making progress in your spiritual life? Well, I can tell you, as your pastor, that I struggle with that in my own life. Sometimes I've been getting up in the mornings. We've been doing devotionals. We go out and sit around we've got a little gas fire pit in the back there, and we've been going out there and doing devotions and those kinds of things. But it just doesn't feel sometimes, in spite of all of that, it just doesn't feel like we're making spiritual progress. And sometimes we can read the Word, sometimes we can be praying, sometimes we can fast, but it just seems like we're running up against a wall. And our progress is we struggle with it at best. But let me just assure you of something here tonight. And it is this. When God starts a project, He completes it. Amen? When God starts a project, He completes it. And I wanted to share that with you tonight because I want you to leave here. If you don't leave here with anything else, leave here with this. When God starts a project, He completes it. Now listen, He could have thrown me in the scrap pile a long time ago. Amen? I mean, I'm doing a project at my house, and some of you have come and helped me. One thing that I've been doing is any boards that are good, I've been saving them in hopes to reuse them. There's a junk pile and there's a hopeful pile. Amen? The closest that you and I are ever going to get to the junk pile is the hopeful pile. Amen? Because we're a work in progress. There's hope for that stack of lumber that I've got at my house, and there's hope for you and I. Some way, somehow, somewhere, those boards are going to get used. Somewhere, some way, somehow, every one of you in this room tonight and those watching by way of the internet, God has a purpose and God has a plan for your life. Those boards might not be used for exactly what they were being used for when I tore them out of the wall. They might be used in an entirely different way down the road, but they're still going to be part of the building. Amen? You might have came in here having experience in something else, but God might use you in a different area in this place here. But here's the bottom line. I'm going to say this until I'm dead. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. In this church, if this is your church, if you have called Harvest Christian Assembly your home church, then God has a purpose and a plan. You're not here just to sit back and enjoy the show. Because if that's all this is a show, let's just shut the thing down right now and me and Rick and Bob are going fishing. And you're going with us. You're going to take us to Lamola. We're going to catch some browns. But I don't believe that. I believe God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. As with the Philippians, God is going to help you and I grow in grace until He has completed His work in our life. And guess what? When He has completed His work in our life, we ain't going to be here. Where are we going to be? We're going to be with Him. So when you're discouraged, Nobody but the preacher's probably ever been discouraged. When you are discouraged, not if you get discouraged, but when you are discouraged, remember that God won't give up on you. David. Every time I see that guy, I see hope. Because I've seen God do so many miracles in his life since since we started praying for him however long ago. 4 months ago. And that right arm just kind of hangs around. Except God's starting to refire some things in there. And he's starting to be able to close his fingers a little bit. Couldn't do that before. How many weeks ago did we start our men's Friday night ministry? 5-6 weeks ago? When we first started, when David and Chris came, David tried to tell some things of what God had been doing, and all he could say was, "Yeah, yep, yep." And now, yeah, he's putting sentences together. He's being able, he struggles to get some words sometimes, but to see what God's doing. God ain't done with you, sunshine. Hey, sometimes God's got to drag us through some stuff to get our attention. He's got your attention. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He promises to finish the work that he's begun. Amen? He has promised. How many of you know God don't go back on his promises? So when you feel incomplete, when you feel unfinished or distressed by your shortcomings, remember and be confident in God's promise and provision. I've talked to some of you that have been in ministry before and stuff happened and now you're not in ministry and I don't know what you're waiting for. This working? Still working? Okay, I'll just check. Anybody feel incomplete? Anybody? Anybody feel unfinished? Anybody feel distressed by your shortcomings? I never seem to measure up. How many of you struggled through your whole life trying to measure up to meet somebody else's expectations? Tried to get my dad's approval through my whole life. My dad was an accomplished machinist and welder. He could weld anything he could make. If it was steel, he could make anything out of it. He was amazing. He took a piece of plastic one time. You might even remember seeing this. He had 4 pieces of plastic plate, and he glued them together, chucked them up in a lathe, and turned them till they were round, cut 4 different threads on it. 4 separate threads. Made the nut that went on it. Every time the nut made one revolution around the bolt shaft, it traveled 4 inches down the shaft. Did you ever see that out at the house? He made a lamp out of it. My older sister has it now. He was phenomenal. He wanted me to be a welder right out of school. I went to work at Strong's Manufacturing, which is where my dad was working. I lasted a week. Said, I appreciate getting me the job, but I got to go. This ain't my idea of a good time. And I went to work in the woods, and I never looked back. I spent my whole life trying to earn his approval, and I never made it until he was on his deathbed. And oddly enough, it was because I was in ministry, which is crazy. But I knew that night that I had got his approval. We become distressed by our shortcomings, and remember, and we need to be confident that don't spend your life trying to please man. Spend your life trying to please God. Because if you please God, everybody else will either fall in line or they don't matter. Amen? Don't let your present condition, don't put this up yet, anybody going through anything? I'll wait for everybody else to get honest. Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing closer to Him. What does Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 say? Anybody? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first, not second, but first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Here's what I've found. In seeking God, the closer you get to God, the less the things mean to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The closer you get to God, the less the things matter to your life. So don't be afraid of what you've done or who you are. Are or who somebody has labeled you as, or your current action that you blew it, and so now you've self-condemned yourself. Let me tell you what happens when you self-condemn. Anybody ever self-condemn themselves? Pardon me? I was good at it too. Amen. I was too. Let me knock you off your little pedestal, all right? Here's what happens. When you don't forgive yourself, when you self-condemn yourself, when you say, hey, I can't be forgiven, you just put yourself in a position of authority higher than God. And God said what? There will be no gods above me. And so when you don't forgive yourself for whatever it is that you have done, you're saying you know more about it than God does, and God ain't going to have that. So again, now we have to go where? Back to God's Word. And what does God's Word say? God's Word says, I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, I'm redeemed. Hello? Don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing closer to Him. Get as close to Him as you can, and the other mess will drop off. So, the verb tense in what we're talking about indicates that Paul had been confident. In other words, he had full assurance from the very first, and he was still confident to that very day of God's continued work to transform the lives of the Philippian believers. Tammy and I started ministry in this church, in this town, in 1990. I about couldn't get that out. I got hung up right there for a minute. Was it right? 1990? 91? Pretty close. Anyway, 90, 91, whatever. How long ago has that been? Almost 30 years. It is 30 years. And we left here, and the work wasn't done. And now we're back. Listen. In 1959, I was born here. Well, that's not true altogether. I was born actually in Canyonville. But I lived here. And I love this place with all of its mess. I was a big part of its mess back then. But even the mess we were back then wasn't nothing like it is today. But I'm here today because I'm confident that God wants to transform the lives of Myrtle Creek, Oregon. The He in verse 6 refers to God, and the good work refers to God's salvation and the continued perfecting of the believers. So God's goal then for believers is that they be what? What is God's goal for believers? Pardon me? To be confident? There's a lot of people that aren't believers that are confident. So, let me ask this question again. God's goal for believers is that they what? Share the word what? Share the gospel? Make disciples? What? Well then. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. That we might be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That Jesus might be the firstborn among many believers, or many brothers. That's God's goal, that we would be conformed. Listen, He loves us just the way we are. He loved us while we were yet sinners, if you want to take it to that level. Is that right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He loved us then. But now His goal for you and I as believers is that we would be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Well, what does that even mean? What does it mean to be conformed to the likeness of His Son? What does that even... What in the world? What? How we act? How did He act? To be loving and forgiving and kind, and what was probably His greatest characteristic? All right, what was His second greatest?
His love.
What was second greatest? Well, you're getting close. To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. And I said, what is that like? What was the greatest characteristic that He had? And of course, you guys had to go and say love. Hello. What was the second greatest thing that he did? The Son of God came not to be served, but to serve. He was a servant. He served everybody. He's calling you and I as his followers to be conformed to his likeness. And in other words, he's calling us to serve one another. How can we serve one another? I mean, that is an endless list. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you serve your friends or your neighbors? One small task at a time. See, the goal of God for believers, that's for us, is that we be conformed to His likeness and that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. See, God who began a good work of redemption in us will carry it on to completion throughout our lifetime and then finish it when we meet Him face to face. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortality is going to put on immortality. Right? This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Ha. Woo. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross in our place. He didn't deserve it. You and I did. His work began in us. Let me get this. Let me make sure you're getting what I'm saying here. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross. God's work in us began when we first believed. So now the Holy Spirit lives in us and by that enables us to be more like Christ every day. Guess who doesn't want you to be more like Christ every day? Guess who don't want you to be like Christ any day? And don't think for one second that He's not going to fight you every step of the way. But the Holy Spirit lives in us. And because He lives in us, because our body is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the tent of dwelling for the Holy Spirit. And because of that, He enables us, He empowers us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, what? We will what? Be endued with what? Power. Dunamis. Where we get our English word dynamite is from that word dunamis. It talks about power. And so we have the explosive power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us. You ever look at Him that way? You ever think about the Holy Spirit in that way? He lives in us, and by doing so, enables us to be more like Christ every day. If we will listen for His still small voice, He will say to you and I, this is the way, walk in it. When you're about to do something stupid, He will say, don't do that. And we tell Him, mind your own business. God not only initiates our salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, He guarantees its fulfillment. Not only does God initiate our salvation, He guarantees its fulfillment. Verse 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 1. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. Everybody say sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. It's like Brandon cows. You can brand a cow. You can try and cover it up, but underneath, the brand's still there. We've been branded. We've been marked. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that we belong to Him and that He will do what He has promised. This is kind of crazy, but I don't know how long. I don't know. The chances are you didn't even notice. But for the last over a year, at the Myrtle Creek Saw Shop, on their reader board out front, they've had on there, looking for a mechanic. Full or part-time. Looking for a mechanic. And I buy my saw parts and stuff in there, and a weed eater and all that kind of stuff there. And the lady knows that I'm the pastor of this church, and she said, would you pray for us to get a mechanic? And I said, I will. And I have been for a year. And every time I go in there, I ask her, have you got a mechanic yet? No, not yet. Not yet. She said, just keep praying. Today, I went in there and I bought some lawnmower parts and whatnot in there. And I said, oh, by the way, because I see all these guys out in the shop. And so I said, hey, did you guys hire a mechanic yet? She said, you know what? Actually, three of them. They all came at once. We hired them all. I said, well, that's great. She goes, no, you don't know the rest of the story. I said, okay. What's the rest of the story? She goes, have you ever got tired of waiting? No. Never. I always just wait upon the Lord. I said, yeah, I get tired of waiting. But I said, you know what I've learned through waiting? That the timing of the Lord is always perfect. She goes, I've just learned that. Had a situation. They didn't know exactly how to deal with it. These three guys showed up. This other situation gave notice that they weren't going to be there anymore. And so these three guys filled that and everything just... And nobody had to get ugly. Everything was... Pastor, it was just the timing of the Lord. I said, well, that's just the way God works. Amen? But do we ever get tired of waiting? He promises to take care of it. He is our guarantee. He is the Holy Spirit. Is like the down payment, is like a deposit, a validating signature on the contract. Don't get tired of waiting on God. You might be walking through muck and mire for a year, being weighed down with all the extra responsibilities that you need other people to help you carry, but if you just keep trudging along, in God's timing, He's going to make it happen. He promises that. We belong to Him, and He's going to do what He promised. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us demonstrates the genuineness of our faith and proves that we're God's children and we are secure, and He secures eternal life for us. Now, just so you know that I'm not preaching once saved, always saved, because I don't believe that. But I do, however, believe that it's a lot harder to get unsaved than what a lot of people think it is. Okay? But I do believe you can lose your salvation. If that wasn't so, there wouldn't be so many verses about backsliding in the Scripture. But the mere fact that Jesus is always working on me, He's always working on you, He's always saying, whether we're listening to Him or not, this is the way, walk in it. He's always giving us unction, whether we understand the unction or not. He's always encouraging us, whether we understand the encouragement or not. He's always pulling on us. But there comes a time when we can say, you know what, I'm just done with this, and walk away from it and do whatever we want. However, I don't believe that you'll enjoy whatever it is you're doing. Amen? That's why when we have services and at the end of the services we have opportunity, number one, to get saved if you've never been saved before. And number two, if you ever have been saved and you've walked away from God, you can recommit your life. A do-over. Amen? And they're valid. They're valid. Well, what about deathbed commitment? Well, how about the guy hanging on the cross? What did Jesus say? Today. Today, you're going to be with me. Amen? He didn't say, well, wait a minute, we're going to have to jump down off this cross, get unnailed, run down the creek, and get baptized so that everything's right. No, He said, today. Right after we're both dead, you're going to be with me. That's what He said. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us. The presence of the Holy Spirit in you won't let you have fun living your own life. Amen? He demonstrates the genuineness of our faith and proves that we're His children and secures us. His power works in us to transform us now, and what we experience now is a taste of the total change that we will experience in eternity. Listen, I didn't think you could ever have fun unless you were drunk or wasted. You must know what I'm talking about. Just can't have any fun unless you're drunk or wasted. Until you get drunk on the Holy Ghost the first time. And then you can't get enough of that. Listen, He's looking to change us. When I realized that I could go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow and not have to try and remember what I did yesterday, anybody besides the pastor ever had to look over their shoulder a lot? Isn't it refreshing to not have to do that anymore? Every time a police officer would drive by, even if I was in some other city, somewhere far away, every time one of them went by, I was like, oh man. Don't have to do that no more. I wave at them. Paul here is describing the process of Christian growth and maturity that began when we accepted Jesus, and it is going to continue until the day of Jesus Christ. That is when Christ returns for us. He began a good work in you, and He is working on you today. He's going to work on you tonight. He's going to work on you in the middle of the night. He's going to work on you tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, every day, every moment of every day. He's working on us. Nothing in this life or after death can stop God's work in us. Nothing in this life or after death can stop God's work in us. That's good. Despite any persecution that the church in Philippi might face, Paul was confident that God was going to continue His good work in them. Paul had poured his life into the Philippians. Paul had ministered to them and encouraged them and wrote letters and all these kinds of things and ministered and sent Timothy and different ones to talk to him. And he was confident that they were going to hang tough. He was confident that God was going to continue His good work in them. Paul didn't know when the day of Jesus Christ was going to arrive, but he lived as though it could come at any moment. How do we do that? Well, it involves way more than just going out and sitting on a stump somewhere, looking to the eastern sky, waiting for the trumpet to blow. Which is what some people think it's talking about. It's not. It's talking about us continuing the work that Jesus Christ began here on this earth until the eastern sky splits and the trumpet blows. Because if we don't tell people about Jesus Christ, they're going to the possibility of them going to a godless hell is very real. And so we have to ask ourselves, how do we value these people? If your God, this is going to be fun. If your God is second fiddle to some higher power, then your God is too small. Somebody want to give me an example? Because I gave you the example already earlier on. What? Then what? And you ain't big enough to be there. If your God is second fiddle to some higher power, meaning yourself, then your God is too small. God's big enough to forgive you and I. God's big enough to redeem us. The God of the Bible is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? Sovereign is in the God of the Bible is sovereign, which is an old word used to describe a king, and nobody has more power than the king. Amen? If the king says, cut your head off, guess what? You're going to be about that much shorter. God's sovereign action is the Christian's belief that all of life, the good and the ugly, happens under the eye and the loving will of a universal ruler named God. Here's another one. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. And while God doesn't approve of the evil that people do, He controls even that and will judge it one day as befits a righteous king. He ain't going to judge you one way or the other because he's having a good day or a bad day. He's not going to have a mad on the day he judges you and I. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to judge us in that same, whatever that is I'm looking for. That same realm, on that same level. He's not going to be mad on that day. Because one of his favorites was just ahead of you in line and messed something up. And so now God's mad and he's going to take it out on you. Right? It doesn't work that way. If you blow it, if the guy in front of you blew it, that's on him, not on you. It's all fresh and new when it's your turn. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about. And while He doesn't approve of the evil we do, He even controls that and is going to judge it as befits a righteous king. The work begun by God is a good work. In other words, it's a work that revolutionizes or radically changes the life of the believer. Now, I'm going to pick on you guys tonight, just a little. Because we all went to school together. I wasn't an altogether horrible person in those days, was I? I mean, I wasn't altogether a horrible person. But even in that, I wasn't a good person either. I was outside of the realm of Christ. I'm now a believer. I wasn't a believer in those days. I'm a believer now. Some of the stuff we did in those days, I would do today. We were just a little mischievous. We didn't destroy all kinds of stuff or anything. We just was a bunch of boys being boys. God is above all. He began, I believe He was doing a work in my life then. I didn't want anything to do with it. But that don't mean He wasn't working on me. No matter what kind of life a person was living, once God converts that person, the new believer begins to live a good life. Amen? It doesn't matter what kind of life that person was living. Once conversion takes place, that new believer begins to live a good life. I want to show you three things here just real quickly. Three things. The new believer begins to live a life of righteousness, purity, and holiness. Righteousness is right standing. I'm in right standing with God. Why? Because I've accepted Him and made Him the Lord of my life. And because of that, now remember, righteousness isn't a thing. Righteousness is a position. I'm in my position of righteousness. I've been cleansed. I've been cleaned. I've been washed in the blood. It speaks of purity. And there's a level of holiness that has come into my life. So the life of a new believer begins to live a life of righteousness, purity, and holiness. And number two, he begins to live a life of love, of joy, and of peace. That peace that I'm talking about, it references the peace that I was talking about a little earlier, where I don't have to wonder what I did last night the next day. I don't have to be constantly looking over my shoulder. I can wave and smile at the police officers with a smile on my face, with peace in my heart, because I know in whom I believe. And I have joy, and I can love people. I can love people. The third thing that begins is a life of faith, a life of humility, and a life of control. Anybody besides me working on the control part still? Wow. Faith, humility, and control. The good work is incomplete as long as you and I live on this earth. It is incomplete. As long as we're alive, it's going to be incomplete. He is never perfected, not while we are a man or woman. There's always work for God to do. Therefore, God's always working within the life of the believer to mature you and I more and more. Amen? So God's always working to make the man more and more pure and more faithful in his service to the Lord. The good work is to be completed when Jesus returns to this earth. What we've been working on, some of us, for 80 years. Maybe there's somebody in here 80, I don't know. Maybe not. Close. God's going to complete in an instant. What? In an instant, it's going to be done. He will become perfect, a perfect man who will live in the new heaven and new earth with Christ. You and I will worship and serve the Lord Jesus in perfection throughout all eternity. God, can you think about that for just a second before my time runs out here? Perfection, not blowing it. Not messing it up. Anybody ever mess it up? I mean, I mess it up every now and then. My wife, I went to town today to get some lawnmower parts, and Tammy says, "How about bringing me a Pepsi?" I'm always into scoring a few extra points. She says, "You got any money?" I said, "No, I don't. So I'll get you a Pepsi, but you're going to have to give me some money." So she gives me $4 to go and buy her a Pepsi. I go to the saw shop, get all my parts, I come back home, working on my lawnmower. I need some more parts. I feel something in my pocket, and I go looking in my pocket. I got a whole pocket full of money. I got to go back to the parts store. Where's my Pepsi? I'm going to get that too. I'm going to get that too. So I got her one of them great big gargantuan dudes, right? Trying to make up for my mess up. Good Lord. Was good, wasn't it? Was it good? What's that? Good Lord. Listen. We're gonna become perfect. We're gonna live in the new heaven and the new earth with Christ. We're gonna worship and serve the Lord in perfection throughout all eternity. We need to be confident today. Listen, be confident today that your life is fully in the hands of a sovereign God. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Be confident today that your life is fully in the hands of the sovereign God. Remember, a sovereign God is a God that has power above any other person or any other deity. He is all powerful. You are in the hands of a sovereign God who does not miss anything and who loves you with the same boundless love with which He rules all of creation. He is, in fact, omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere, all at the same time. And He has His eye on you. It is amazing. David, when you were hanging out the side of that car, dead, He wasn't done with you. He breathed back into you the breath of life in that moment, and here you are today. Woo! What you're going to do for the glory of God. I'm telling you, your life, every one of us, our lives are fully in the hands of a sovereign God. Sovereign God who does not miss a thing. You know what a short jerk chain is? Anybody know what a short jerk chain is? No. A short jerk chain is like for if you have a dog and you're training him and you just keep a real short little chain, a little leash on, and you can, I said sit, you jerk him around, get his attention a little bit. Sometimes God just lets us run, and you ever seen a dog or anything else run? Back when I used to be a little bit ornery, if there was a mean dog and he was on a chain, you'd go out and torment that thing just enough until he'd just run right at you, and you watch him hit the end of the chain. Pow! Ha-ha! Woo! Well, you check that stuff out ahead of time, right? I think God lets us do that every now and then. He'll let us run just to the end and then jerk us back around into reality. Don't forget who you're serving. I'm the God of all creation, and I want you to know that your life is fully in my hands. I don't miss a thing. I love you with a boundless love, the same love that I rule the all of creation with. Amen? That's the God that loves you tonight. Hallelujah. He ain't missing a thing. He's not missed one moment of your life. Sir. No. No, I don't. Not at all. I could tell you some stories, but I won't. No. Our lives, literally, what he just said went just like this after I left, and God brought them right back together. When we were in school, we were like inseparable. We did all everything. We hunted. We did all crazy, all kinds. And then just bam, I was gone. And God brought us right back together for such a time as this. Amen. Father, I love you tonight, and I am grateful that you're a sovereign God. I'm grateful that there is none mightier than you. I'm grateful that you know all that there is to know. I'm grateful that you love us with a boundless love with which you have ruled the entire creation. And Lord, I thank you that you're a healing God. Lord, that you're a God of provision. Lord, that you're a God of compassion, a God of service. A God of uniqueness to the point that you could use somebody like us to do your work in a place like Myrtle Creek, Oregon. And Father, I claim this city for your glory and for your honor. God, I pray that this church would be a jewel in the crown of Almighty God one day. Lord, that lives beyond measure would just come and be redeemed in this place. And go out from this place with the gospel on their heart and on their lips. And Lord, for every person tonight watching by way of the internet, I pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken them. That your Holy Spirit would begin to do something inside of them. Lord, that would shake them out of their place of wherever it is that they're at. Maybe they're timid tonight and maybe they don't think that the church would hold up if they came. Let them know, God, that you have a house strong enough even for them. Father, I thank you for it. I pray, God, for the ladies tomorrow as they get together. I pray you'd equip them, that you'd bless them. I pray for the men on Friday night that you would bless us, guide us, teach us, direct us, Lord. I pray, God, for Sunday services, Lord, that you would rule and reign. God, that you'd fill this place with people that need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. That maybe they're at their wit's end. Maybe they're literally at the end of their rope. And God, they need a Redeemer. They need a Savior. And you're the one. And Father, I pray you bring them in here. And Lord, I promise that to the best of my ability, God, I will preach a salvation message where somebody can get saved for your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your day. Good rest of the week. And we'll see you Sunday, if not before. Amen. Good night.